In his new book, The Deep State, Mike Lofgren, the New York Times bestselling author of The Party is Over, delivers a House of Cards-style expose on who really wields power in Washington. Lofgren says actual power lies in the deep state, Washington's shadowy power elite in the pockets of corporate interests and dependent on the moguls of Silicon Valley. Drawing on his insider knowledge gleaned in his three decades on the Hill, Lofgren looks to offer a wake-up call to Americans and urges them to fight to reinstate the basic premise of the Constitution. Mike Lofgren spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate budget committees. He's appeared on Bill Moyers, Hardball, Chris Hayes, and To the Point, among others. His new book, The Deep State, we welcome Mike Lofgren to the roundtable this morning. Mike, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be here.
I think you were on last for The Party is Over. What did you want to, a point that you wanted to make in this book, and is it any way an ongoing discussion with what you started in The Party is Over?
Well, the first book looked at the party system in America and concluded that it was broken. The Democrats were a very conflicted status quo party that was dependent on big corporate contributors, just like the other party, while pretending to be a party for working people. And the Republicans, I think, were just going so far right, they were sliding off the edge of the earth. They were becoming a cult of right-wing authoritarians. But later, I wasn't totally satisfied with my analysis, because whatever the symptoms of the two parties, and I think I pretty much nailed them, there's a kind of internal political GPS that keeps the country following similar policies. There may be nuances, but they're pretty much the same policies with respect to the big money issues, like overseas intervention, Wall Street power, the surveillance state, regardless of which party is in power, and regardless of squabbles, which are real, over gay marriage or abortion or things like that, but those aren't the big money issues.
When you look at the issue, especially those big money issues, how much do they control what is being discussed versus what is being spent? Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Now, the New York Times had a piece not too long ago that half the money contributed so far, or to that point, to Democratic and Republican presidential candidates, which was $176 million, came from just 158 families. And we also know that the Forbes 400 wealthiest people in the country now this year have more wealth than the bottom 150 million Americans. So things are really getting skewed. Pew Research did a study recently and found that America's middle class has dwindled to less than half the population for the first time in more than four decades. I'd say all those facts are related. As the middle class dwindles, it's related to the fact that a small group of people have a stranglehold on government because they are basically paying the politicians. The politicians align their incentives with those people rather than the electorate at large.
Your story is interesting because, as I mentioned in the introduction, you had long work, 28 years in Congress. You left, you retired, and became, you worked for, you were a Republican, and you left that party, and in your book and in essays that you've written, you were critical of both political parties and of the system. When you look at that, is it because I remember talking to you when your first book came out, and you said that one of the things that you wanted to accomplish was you felt you had a unique view because you could let people know about the machinery of what is going on, that it wasn't a political, it was an insider look at the machinations of what was going on in our government. Do you think, especially after having written this new book and the previous one, that we are as interested as we should be in those machinations?
I don't think so, and that's part of the mechanism that allows this to happen. There's an old saying, people get the government they deserve, and while that's not always correct 100%, there is some aspect to that. Now, there's reasons for that. People become disillusioned. A lot of the commercial media, it's not in their interest to talk about complex follow-the-money stories. If it bleeds, it leads, and if it doesn't, it doesn't really push cornflakes. We had about roughly 50 corporations in this country in the 1980s that controlled about 90% of commercial media. Now, thanks to the 96 telecom bill, which allowed cross-ownership, it's down to about half a dozen. And it's not in their commercial interest to talk about these subjects. So what's put in front of the public, whether Tom Brady deflated a football, the antics of the Kardashians, Caitlyn Jenner, and so forth. But I would hope people would understand these things are important. What are the components of the federal budget? What exactly are we doing overseas as opposed to what Pentagon spokesmen say we're doing? This is really important stuff. And I think the public is so disillusioned. They can't, because of the information base often tends to be low, they can't identify the nature of the problem, but they do know something's wrong. And 6 months ago, I would not have guessed we would be where we are today, where you have a couple of candidates who are by no means equivalent in their beliefs, but they are equivalent in the sense that they're both outsiders. They both oppose the current business model of how candidates get elected by going hat in hand to rich people. There's Donald Trump, who's got so much money, he doesn't need that. And there's Bernie Sanders, who has a different business model of tens of thousands of self-motivated people giving small contributions.
And how do you feel with, let's say, with Bernie Sanders' model? What does that help the system? Does that help eradicate or have an impact on what you refer to as the deep state?
Well, it certainly does, because at the end of my book, I outline a number of reforms in foreign policy and national security policy and economic policy that should be taken. But my point that I make is that none of this can happen if we don't get the big money out of politics, because the incentives of the politicians so far are aligned with who pays the bills. The Sanders model would break that. I'd go even further. I would say we need, because not all politicians will adhere to that voluntarily. He's the anomaly in that he set up this new model, but not all would do that. I think, and this is a considerable journey for a one-time free market Republican like me, but I'd say we need public financing of elections for a much smaller sum of money than is being spent now. We spent 6 billion dollars on federal elections in 2012, and I'm sure we'll spend a lot more in 2016. For a tiny fraction of that, you could establish a level playing field. You'd have much shorter campaigning seasons, comparable to what they have in England or Australia or Canada, and people would be forced to talk about maybe issues rather than these two-year marathons where they spend most of their time raising money and using red herrings and negative campaign advertising.
I do want to ask you about one presidential candidate in particular, and that is John Kasich, because you worked for the guy as he was beginning his congressional career in 1983. Here is a man who is considered by many to be, if not the most, one of the most moderate of the Republicans running for president, and yet has failed to gain much traction in the polls. Do you have any insight in that?
Well, to sort of paraphrase Stephen Colbert, he has a deep, dark secret in his past, government experience. And I can understand how, you know, people are disillusioned with politics and as usual, but, you know, come on, folks. Ben Carson is not qualified. Somebody who thinks that the pyramids were built for grain storage is simply not qualified to be president. Interesting, I read an exclusive in the sort of inside the Beltway insider paper, The Hill, that covers Capitol Hill. They had an exclusive that a number of House Republicans in 2014 wanted to depose Boehner and elect Ben Carson as Speaker. Somebody who had zero experience in elective politics, even dog catcher, making him Speaker of the House and having to run legislation with 434 other fractious individuals would be a formula for disaster. Yet that shows how far the right wing of the Republican Party is gone. It's just become a kind of gong show.
Well, your book is fascinating. It's really, I think, essential reading, especially this time of year as we start this political process this year. It is entitled The Deep State. Mike Lofgren, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Best of luck with the book. Very nice to have you here.
Enjoyed being here.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The Deep State, and Mike Lofgren is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.